Who's ready for what?
I'm ready.
Podcast! My podcast coming at you like a train. Yeah. Take that. Declan Maron over there.
Howdy.
Ruth Hovind over there.
Hello.
How are you, lads?
Yeah,
alright. He's ready to jump on the 12th man podcast train.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Choo choo.
Like hobos in the 1950s or something?
Yeah, like that.
Riding the rails.
Right across the country.
A hobo podcast adventure.
But we can be an adventure together. In a football adventure, lads. Yeah?
Of hobos.
Yes. Right. The 12thmanpodcast@hotmail.com. If you want to email us at 12thmanpodcast on the Twitter. We went crazy on the Twitter last night with the transfer deadline.
Thank you,
loads of stuff. Yeah, I had 6 tabs open at one stage trying to keep myself updated.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Imagine how many Jim White had open.
Ah,
probably 0. Just had sounds being fed into his ear, but
yeah.
You know, probably maybe
just,
2.
Probably just on Facebook or something.
Just one that had Sky Sports live blog, and the other one just a topless lady for every now and again when he got bored the ads or something.
Or one of them was one of those casino things that opens up when you try to go into a certain page. Certain page. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, naked lady page. Oh, Jim,
you're crazy. Anyway, transfer deadline there, lads. Yeah, it was madness. Absolute madness. I mean, it was
Sky Sports couldn't have hyped it up enough to make it as it was.
I think they should have hyped it up more.
It was beyond Sky's ability. It was so crazy that Sky couldn't even pretend it was that crazy.
Yeah, it was just madness.
In terms of Sky, it was mostly just getting half interviews with people before people started doing wanking gestures behind them.
You
had to cut away from them.
It's like, oh, well, we didn't really get the details there. But
it's my abiding memory. Transfer deadline day.
We'll go back to Jim in a few minutes. Anyway, look, transfer deadline day, lads. But it already been a hoot and a half. You know, it's hard to make it any better. But that's the challenge I'm going to put to you, lads. I'm going to ask you, how do we make the transfer deadline day better? More exciting. Declan Maron.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with a beauty right off the bat here. I think the situation, you know, on Sky is that they go to the reporters standing outside the ground and all the fans jumping around them. But I think what we should do is have the fans not only follow just the reporter outside, but follow the player, right? And they have to stand there while he's signing the contract and start screaming. And then at this medical, they all have to stand around him, like, shout with excitement. And just have them go everywhere the player does. Like, when Charlie Adam was supposed to be driving to Liverpool that time in a car, just pack the car, like a Volvo full of Liverpool fans in a car up from Blackpool with him, screaming at him the whole way.
Is Charlie Adam driving a Volvo?
It's quite fitting. He's a boxy man, or boxy cars.
But I think, having the fans follow him everywhere, so you know.
Making him doubt whether he really wants to go to this club.
Because it's, it often results in the reports not being able to get finished. I wonder how much it would delay the actual transfers and what it would end up.
So you want more time between all the transfers during the transfer deadline?
No, I just want them
more of the boring stuff.
No, I want them to just kind of put, like, so you know, say Real Madrid didn't want Özil to go. All the Real Madrid fans kind of popped in as well, trying to, stop him, danced around him a bit.
Is it fans from the team that they're signing for or the team that they're signing from?
I think it's up to whoever turns up.
It's a free for all.
A Kenny Miller signing from Celtic to Rangers type thing. That would make it more exciting, I think. Also,
in terms of the Ozil one, it would most likely just be people from Munich. They'd be like, don't really care either way.
Alternatively, I'd like everyone to be allowed to swear.
On air?
Yeah, just like Jim White could be like, it's fucking transfer deadline day. Just whole thing.
They go after the watershed anyway. Why not?
Just expletives at all.
Go.
Well, they know, as you were saying, the fans are going to be making gestures and stuff like that.
Just embrace it.
Just let Jim White call him. Well, Tony got mobbed by a bunch of wankers there, didn't he? And he's like, yeah, he did, actually. You're right.
Beat that.
Well, I kind of went a bit high-pitched there. I kind of thought about it in a different way. You're thinking more of the coverage. I was thinking more of just the way that the transfers themselves are done out. That, yesterday was a prime example where United couldn't stump up an extra 4 or 5 million for Ander Herrera or whatever happened there. Same thing happened with Liverpool for Clint Dempsey. They couldn't make up that money. That if they can't...
Same thing with Arsenal with about 40 players.
Yeah. If you can't reach up a certain amount of money, that there'll be a certain amount of money put towards points so that they could offer the club a point instead.
Like one of their points.
So yeah, one of their points that they've gotten for the season.
But he wouldn't have many points at that stage.
Yeah, so he wouldn't... Like,
well, imagine the season was won on that. It would ruin it.
No, but it'd make it like... Can you just sell all your players and get in 40 points if you're trying to stay up, and then just there you go, you're safe.
And then to get it back, you'd only have three players. You'd sell the other eight medals you got from winning the league.
So essentially,
and you could buy players with that.
No football would be played. No, just be players transferring to clubs.
There wouldn't be football. I mean, it wouldn't be. You're not gonna sell enough players to get. Like, if there's a point for every 5, maybe even 10 million, then it's only a little bonus, but it's just so that...
What if they transfer between leagues?
Yeah, but still, there could be some sort of system.
What's the exchange rate? What's the exchange rate for English points to Italian points?
Have loads of points, Stoke don't have any.
See, that's the thing. Celtic could have loads of points.
But they wouldn't be.
But they don't have enough money.
But they wouldn't be.
So they can sign more players based on the amount of points that they have. But they wouldn't not be, just based. So it
this
makes
is a very
it,
confusing system makes, altogether.
It, no, but it makes it less about the amount of money that you have.
But it's like the European Golden Boot. It's like if you score goals in Scotland, it only counts as half a goal. If you score goals in Spain, it counts as a full goal.
That's fine. Yeah. So it could also be instead of points that it's just sort of like a, like say, all right, we'll give you him for 5 million less, but. David Moyes, you have to wear a dress for your next game. It's like a forfeit system instead.
This is just wild. What I actually thought you were going to say there when you started that was, you're talking about, they need to make all that money. I thought you were just going to suggest loaning from the Mafia or something. Because that would make it more exciting trying to see. It's like, oh look, Wayne Rooney's come in with a couple of broken legs this year. Got to equal out for United and not being able
just
to pay.
Come down with
he's collateral.
We'll give you Wayne Rooney's legs as collateral.
You could sign players like that then. Wayne Bridge as collateral or something like that. Just let them bash him.
He could. But, Wayne Bridge probably wouldn't be too happy about that.
He's happy to sit there and take the money. Yeah. Doesn't care about what he's doing.
But it's a complicated and difficult system.
It would be a complicated and difficult system. I'd like to see...
I'd like to see
Sky Sports News deal with that. So now, Newcastle have minus 6 points, but they signed...
Oh, no, you can't be going minus points now.
It's essentially what Portsmouth did, just like they got it at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's pretty much... You go into administration, we spend that.
Yeah, instead of going into administration...
So it's just pre-administration, is what you're saying.
No, it's just relying less on money, more on what you've achieved during the season.
Difficult. What about when you don't have any points?
Well, then you can't use it. It's the same if you have no money, you can't sign anyone.
But once the season ends and the transfer window opens in July, you won't have any points. Because the teams will be everybody back to zero.
Yeah.
So you can't use
it. You said for
deadline. You can't use it until transfer deadline day.
You said it for deadline day. That was the question that you proposed. It could work in January.
So it can only happen on deadline day.
In January.
Okay.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it in January.
Oh, I can't wait for January. Everyone will explain this in detail.
I'll be working on it for the next couple of months.
Nonsense system.
Yeah, I went down kind of the same route as you, Deco. Like on the coverage of it more so rather than the actual. Transfers are pretty boring,
because you can't keep up with them without coverage.
You do some paperwork, you can do that anywhere, But
colourful paper, is that what you're going for?
Yes.
Makes it more fun.
More fax machines. More fax machines in disguise. No, what I want is, we all know the face of transfer deadline day is Jim White. Really, without him, it's not really worth it, is it?
I feel it is, but I know what you're saying.
But yeah, you know where I'm coming from. What I would have is to make it more exciting.
If Jim White isn't going to come down.
It's kind of the same. So say, Charlie Adams traveled from Blackpool to Liverpool.
That's a great
Manchester.
Example.
It's
not that one as well.
That's all it is because you used it. I want Jim White to be following those deals live in a helicopter.
Yeah,
so I want him going alongside deals. When they say players are going somewhere, like They want him flying along, like doing interviews up the car window, like driving alongside him, trying to get alongside him
outside of a helicopter.
Yes,
incredibly dangerous. It is exciting though.
Yeah,
it's making it look more like a Michael Mann film.
It'll make Jim White look more like Bruce Willis in Die Hard, like that he'd be jumping out of helicopters like onto Charlie Adams' car to get an interview. Like banging on the car.
But usually they have three or four big transfers to go on that day, so to get him to track one of them, maybe one of the other reports to track something else. But Jim's following the big one to say the Ozil deal. He's following Ozil wherever he's going, you know.
Flying over to Munich in a helicopter. And then missing him after he's finished his thing. The helicopter can't really travel as fast as the plane.
But even more,
what would be interesting though is like Sky could have all these polls that like, you know, vote yes or no, will Jim fly with a helicopter? Like 40% say no, 60% say yes.
Adding a new element to the whole betting on transfer deadline
there. Whether Jim will survive because he got overexcited in a high piece of machinery.
And then maybe towards the end of it, he can go and fly around Big Ben. Well, the way
we'll
see that. But like,
he was on, last year, he was like on a roof in the middle of nowhere. Like, it was like, it started off, he was just on top of this roof.
That's
at some
where
stage.
Charlie Adam was going.
No,
day.
What I think that was he could see everything from there. Just like, but it was really strange because like they had him up there for a while just talking, and then he turned up in the studio like later, say his shift was from 8 till, you know, the most exciting part where people actually tune in.
I think with him following the deals live, like even the Garrett Barry one, I was like, you got to be now following Garrett Barry in a car driving really fast.
A Garrett Barry car doesn't go very fast either. any transport for him just goes at the same pace as him. You just imagine us still speeding past him, don't you?
Also weaving around the Nelson's car. Like,
the Garrett Barry car can't even drive forwards, has to go backwards or sideways.
Like chess.
Oh, lovely. Jim White, follow people around in a helicopter shouting. What else do you want? Beat him to
a more complicated system, that's what I want.
Get the fans in the helicopter with Jim White.
Jim, with a selection of fans.
With a selection of fans.
It's
in a
helicopter, everybody.
Too many people in a helicopter to be deemed safe.
And they could all be drinking.
But was there any, I didn't get to watch the full day of it last year because I was working, or this year because I was working, but was there any product placement like there was last year? Like, you know, fans, I remember, I think it was
Jim White, I'm having the Red Bull.
Jim, don't, you're already too excitable. No, but it was like, I remember fans in the back of, I think it was Sunderland when they were signing players last year. Like, big bag of Maryland cookies.
Oh, yeah.
Walking around handing them out to all his mates and stuff. Like, just standing there with them. And every time we'll cut back, just him eating out with a bag of cookies.
A new product every time we'll cut back. Hey, Maryland cookies. Oh, Pepsi.
Yeah. Well, we could also, I'm sure we could jazz up Harry Redknapp's car window thing a bit, like make a, I don't know, that he has
a helicopter.
Yeah, has to speak
a helicopter. Okay. He has to hang dangerously outside a helicopter window.
Oh, woo! Yeah.
Or no,
50 feet above.
Or that his window could roll up at any time, they don't tell him when. He has to stick his arm and his head out. So at some stage you could see Harry Redknapp kind of decapitated with an arm off.
And the odds have been slashed on Harry Redknapp being decapitated by his own car window.
Or Harry Redknapp's car window actually represents the transfer window, so it gets closest.
The transfer window is very nearly closed.
Just his lip sticking out the top then at about 11.
It looks like he can't breathe. It's nearly dead.
Oh god. So it starts like that day at 6 o'clock or whatever time, starts at the bottom and just gets bigger. Just closes up on him.
Oh, it's excellent.
He said, you can't do any more interviews after 11 o'clock.
Then they just lock him in the car and walk away.
Until next year.
Like that in studio just with a car window.
Oh, jeez.
That's a great idea.
We got a bit off topic.
I like that Harry Redknapp's metaphorical transfer window.
Oh dear. Let's actually talk about what happened then, eh?
Okay.
We'll start with the big one, lads. We'll start with the big one.
Jack Hunt.
Yes.
Gary Lineker's great joke on that on Match of the Day, where he went, Jack Hunt. Have to be careful with that one. I was like, man, Gary Lineker, cutting edge BBC jokes, you know?
Yeah, he'd be sacked for the next one.
Oh dear. The big one, Ozil. Moved to Arsenal for £42.4 million. Pounds. Jesus Christ.
Everyone stopped chanting, spend some fucking money on Wenger. And when he did that.
Everybody stopped chanting and went, we don't need him.
You need, yeah, I don't know. You need something. It's hard to say what you need. Yeah.
It's hard to pinpoint.
You did sell a lot of attacking midfield players that would have been there. So, like, I mean, now Walcott doesn't have to start, does he?
I think Walcott will keep playing, but there's a good chance he might be pushed into a forward role this season because we only have
the one. I mean, Giroud can't play every game.
No, I mean,
so
and Giroud's started well.
Are you telling me you didn't sign Benzema, Higuain, Suarez.
Yeah.
I do agree with you in the sense that it's a relatively, you paid $40 million for the player, you probably don't need that position filled in, whereas you got the others for free. So you're kind of a bit like, right, you're telling us that you can't find these players and then you're wasting the money on maybe the one position you're not that threatening.
Yeah, but I mean, when a player like also comes on the market,
He
makes the team considerably better.
Yeah,
so why not?
He's on the market. Nobody else paid for him. We could have waited.
Well, we don't necessarily know that, do we?
Well, United apparently were in for him.
Yeah.
Well, United were offered him, but they weren't willing to pay the fee, it seems. Which is strange, considering we paid the fee.
Yeah, but you have loads of money, remember?
Oh, man, we could sign Rooney.
Splash the cash on that one player one time.
Yeah. Oh, great. I don't know, it's just, you know...
You're not a big fan of Özil anyway, though, it's worth pointing out.
Not that you
dislike him or think he's a bad player, but you wouldn't...
You wouldn't be in the school of thought thinking that he's one of the better players in the world.
No, I don't think he'd be top 10 anyway.
You don't think he's 42 million worth?
No, and he never finishes games, which is a big issue. He can't finish the games. I mean, if he starts it, well, maybe even get fitness up, but the Premier League is a lot more physical than Spain. I mean, and he's tiny. I mean, he's a small man.
Mm.
Like, I mean, he's got great skill. You have to get around players. I'm not saying that, but there are games when you're going to need to...
But he did also play in Germany and he played quite well there, which is
a tougher league, I suppose.
Coped well, so...
It's a fair point, yeah. Look, I don't think he's going to be a bad sign. I just don't think... I know people are saying, oh, this is great. Like, he's going to go here, he's gone to Arsenal, he's going to be great. I hope it doesn't mask the fact that we do need a centre-back and quite probably a striker. I mean, like, Podolski and Walcott can play up front. We know that. And they both want it. And they both said they'd rather play up front. That's great. Now, I know Podolski's out for a while. And we know Giroud's not going to be able to play every game, but Giroud's the main striker. Okay, fine, he's a good player, but we still needed somebody else up there. And like, we were going for Ba, so, you know,
half
9, 10 o'clock.
As an Arsenal fan, would you have been happy about that one?
No, I don't think Demba Ba would add much to our team, really, but at least it would have been another body, which is what we're short of. Like, you have to register a 25-man squad for the Premiership. Do we even have 25 first-year players to register? I don't think we do. Like, the squad is very thin.
Yeah.
I mean, we could have done another centre back, and maybe I would have rather seen, you know, $20 million going on an attacking player. Might not be in the calibre of Ozil,
or two or three attacking players for $20 million.
Yeah, well, no, I'd much rather we bought a centre back for that. Like, we've only got three centre backs. Okay.
You
can argue the signing of a
centre back. And Giroud's only out on loan. You can probably recall him.
Is he on loan or is he gone?
No, he's on loan.
Yeah. But yeah, it just seems like, you know, great, come January, and Ozil left back, we have no left backs left.
Yeah.
You know, that's like, ooh, brilliant. Yeah, just a little bit underwhelming in the sense that, great, we got Ozil, but, you know, two bad games, and it's just back to this, it's going to be back to the same, like.
Yeah.
And we will talk about it when it comes.
What do you think about Viviano coming in on loan? That was really, really,
no,
really,
you know, this.
Yeah, neither here nor there, really, with that transfer, because it was like, needed. Like, on loan is a strength. If you was buying it for a permanent keeper, I'd understand. But what that looks like to me is not able to get a goalkeeper we want right now.
I think sticking with Chesney and maybe this
other guy.
I think the reason we don't want Fabianski as well, still there.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's really in contention to take over as the goalkeeper.
Good point. Well, it's also a bit of competition for Chesney's good, because he is a good keeper.
Yeah.
He's shown us he's good, but he just... You know, you need cover because you can't play every game. You know,
I think it's been shown at this stage, though, that they don't have confidence in him, Arsenal. And
I don't know if he don't have confidence in him. I don't know if he has confidence in himself at the moment.
But I'm not sure if Wenger would ideally...
But I still think Chelsea's going to be number one for the season.
Yeah, me too. But I'm not sure if Wenger had his way. Maybe, you know, if finances... If he could bid and any bid be accepted on any player.
We're only ever linked with Julio Cesar, really.
Casillas. Reina for several years.
Yeah, but we're never really going to buy Casillas. That was just paper saying because he didn't start for Madrid. But he's never going to leave Madrid. Like, I don't think he'd ever leave Madrid in his career. Unless it's to another Spanish team at the very back end of his career. Reina again, I don't know where that was coming from.
Yeah, well,
I was there for years, yeah, but I never understood why we wanted Reina. You know, he was never the keeper he could have been, maybe, or, you know, he was when he was younger, almost. He kind of regressed in the last few years. But anyway, yeah, we're getting bogged down in that. Brazil's a good, fine sign, and he's a great attacking player. And, you know, when him, Cazorla, and whoever else is playing in those positions are, like, playing well against the team, you know, if, I don't know, West Brom at home, we could, you know, you could be beating teams 4-5-0 or 4-3 or whatever it might be, because we have no defenders. But it's almost like, great, but is Ozil really the man to make a difference to the team? We have a good player, Cazorla, who's a good playmaker. Why don't we maybe go for out-and-out winger and the defender would be a little bit better? But I don't know, look.
But again, like, it's the thing that Wenger was saying the whole time, that these players, the players that he wanted weren't on the market, or, you know, no player of the calibre that you needed were there that you could have gotten.
Yeah.
So it could have been that there was no winger, there was no centre-back. You could have gotten someone that would have done a job, or there was this arguably world-class playmaker there that...
Yeah, but look, I
just went, all right,
I find it very hard to believe.
I think it's also the reason why he signed it is that it is a big signing.
Yeah.
And it's not, it may not be the most sensible one, but it's something that people can get actively excited about.
Yeah, but the reason to be frustrated about this, when they're saying there's no winger, I don't believe for the entire summer that no player has been in Arsenal's considering Arsenal still have massive pull as a club, not obviously the same extent as some of the more, you know, some of the richer, outrageously rich clubs, but they still have pull, enough pull to bring in players like Utsal and, you know, Willian, who is a, you know, excellent attacking midfielder, more winger type player in say flair and pace sense. I think, you know, he can keep going back to that card that player isn't on the market, or that prices aren't fair and blah blah blah, but at the end of the day, he's not done a poor job in the transfer window, but overall this summer I think Arsenal will feel relatively let down, and I think it probably will show as the year goes on.
It's almost like, I mean, you say that, like, with the, there's no players of that calibre on the market, and it's a fair point, because you sometimes don't want to be buying players just for the sake of buying players, but when you look how small the Arsenal squad is,
that was almost saying
buy players for the sake of it. Like, what's the difference when made if he spent 9 million on Ashley Williams or whatever we were making?
Yeah,
or
you said this about 2 weeks ago. This is
if we even only got for Sacco, we moved Liverpool for whatever, 13 million. You know, what difference would it make in the long term? It's another body there. Like, realistically, if we lose one centre back, that's it. We don't have anybody else to cover, so that's it. It's like, great, Mertesacker from Allen or Koscielny gets a season long injury. You're almost like, well, we have nobody else who can cover it.
Vermaelen is almost guaranteed to get a season long.
What else happened on transfer deadline day?
I don't know. That's all that happened.
Was there any more money spent? Like an outrageous sum?
No.
Because we started with Utsal. And we start with the world record signing.
I think everybody knew
that was done
the day before.
He was unveiled.
Yeah.
He's only unveiled. Yeah, well, we talk about Bale and his 10 volleys.
His 10 volleys and then... This was just... You know, in case people haven't seen it, his being presented at the Bernabeu, where he wasn't exactly Ronaldinho with a skill. He did about 10 volleys and then tried to balance the ball to his foot, and it fell off. And he kept trying to do that
three times, and then just gave up and just caught the ball.
Yeah, and then he started going around. They basically placed a load of footballs around the pitch for him to walk around, kick into the crowd.
True, most empty crowds.
What, as I said to you guys earlier, what I would have liked was for Maicon to be there, like Real to just sort out getting Maicon in and just watch Bale run up and down against him. Yeah.
They should have signed Maicon
just for that purpose
to make Bale look better.
Yeah. We'll sign you on a 1 week contract.
We spent 10 million to buy it. 1 week
contract. It was a weird, like, just the whole day. Like, there was a sort of a highlights reel on Sky Sports News when, I don't know, none of the transfers were going through or something there, but they showed like him arriving at where he had his medical and having his medical and sitting there with his thumbs up for the entire time for the camera.
Sky Sports, that was probably that image of
that was probably a test to check how good his thumbs were.
He does like that thumbs up thing, because after the medical he came outside and there was a lot of journalists there and there were people taking photos of him, obviously, and some people started asking him questions and he just responded with a goofy smile and a thumbs up. and just stood there for about 5 minutes.
But see, if his thumbs aren't in good condition, though, he won't be able to do a celebration. So
that's
the heart
true.
Thing,
that's
yeah.
true.
I think
yeah.
they really have to
that's
test
very,
that.
Yeah.
So the thumbs up was, yeah, everything's going great, but look at my thumbs.
Yeah.
It's like, look at this.
Look at how strong, like, they're like ties.
Was he wearing his terrible combo that he seems to have taken lately of, like, pink backwards
no,
caps?
No,
he's
wearing a suit, was
pink
no,
shirt.
No, he was just wearing, for the medical, he was just wearing a t-shirt and a pair of shorts.
I assume.
And then he put on, like, a suit kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then he put on the Real Madrid kit, obviously, and then, I don't know.
A lot of closet
changes.
Yeah,
a lot of what he was wearing after.
A lot of
anyway, this is a good,
changes.
Serious chat out of us.
Yeah, yeah.
I
press
think
conference was very underwhelming as well.
Yeah.
Just repeatedly said that Ronaldo is the best player in the world and that he wants to win trophies.
What do you expect? What did you say in the press conference? Like,
yeah.
Oh, why have you joined the club?
Money.
Yeah.
I want to be really filthy rich.
Mainly money.
And then just the song Somebody Call My Mama comes on. Bale just dances to that for a while.
See, that
it's the ideal, ideal press
that.
Conference.
Or Money in the Bank.
Great song.
Fellaini moved to Manchester United in the end.
Just about. Squeaky bum time.
Yeah, jeez, for sure. Look, they were pushing.
I'd say his bum never squeaks because it's so hairy.
Do you think it looks like that? If you turn him upside down, it'll look exactly the same.
Exactly, just massive lot of bum fluff.
They got that one done right at the end of the
nobody
knew it was done after transfer window.
Fellaini still,
still
doesn't know because he's in Belgium with the squad.
Yeah.
He'll come back to Everton and they'll be like, no, we sold you.
But I don't want to leave.
Strange from the sense of, like, it just, you know, it was clearly maybe a panic buy isn't the right word. They were interested in before, but, you know, there's talk of that they were interested in all these other players. And when they couldn't get that, they just said, right, we'll take Moyes' old player that he wants.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And there's a touch of that about
they
it.
They should have done it 2 weeks ago when his buyout clause was 23 million.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they paid 27 million,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, it's absurd, really.
It's just
bizarre. It's what I was saying to you guys before. Manchester United have had a really dreadful transfer window, and they've looked very, very silly from it. They've given off the vibe that not only is there not a lot of pulling power there, but there's not a great scouting network there. And maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm coming out wrong, but it just gives off the vibe that maybe Moyes didn't exactly have targets when he got there.
Mm.
But it gives off the vibe that he put this list together in about 20 minutes, you know. That
chief executive, isn't it? Ed Woodward has got a lot of stick, really. Barry, Moyes has kind of got away with it, I think, because this is his first.
Yeah, I don't even.
But they're saying Woodward is like, what is this? His first? Like, remember during the. They were out in China, wasn't it? Or in Asia, and Edward flew back to Manchester to do transfer, and they were like, "Oh, they're going to get Fabregas." Do you United have that pulling power to get Fabregas? Fabregas, we go. Well, you know, Man United's a big club, but David Moyes.
Yeah, I don't
want to work with David Moyes.
No, I don't think that's, you know, the whole Fabregas thing aside. I mean, that one thing went on for a long time, and I felt from the very start it was like there's no reason for him to move. You know, as the stats came out, he played more last season for Barcelona than he did any other year for Arsenal.
There was one season at Arsenal that he played more games than he
yeah,
did.
Yeah, that's what
and
I was.
And the same, there was one season at Arsenal where he scored more goals than last season at Barcelona.
So I don't, the Fabregas thing aside, I think Manchester United have come out looking very foolish. I mean, even stories up until yesterday for people who haven't heard the whole Herrera thing, that, you know,
we haven't got a clue what happened.
No, it seems all over the place, but it suggested that these supposed Manchester United officials who were going over
these
there.
Three.
Yeah. Were in no way.
Three lads.
Yeah, Manchester United.
Who like football. Yeah. They have been in Spain yesterday.
None of them are particular fans of Manchester United. No, but they basically were supposedly no connection to Manchester United whatsoever, which means this is kind of a hoax. But it even still makes Manchester United, because this didn't come out last night.
Yeah,
this came out like today in the middle of.
No, it was out yesterday.
Was it?
Yeah, I heard it yesterday.
Well, it wasn't quashed right when because they were speculated to be going for this Herrera.
Yeah, no, there was all this talk about Herrera, and then around about 8 o'clock in the evening, it was kind of revealed that the guys who were there negotiating weren't. But the weird thing is that United never came out and said, no, we're not in for Herrera.
Yeah.
We don't know who these guys are. It's like, because there was so much about it, and it was all this about they didn't want to meet the bio clause, and then eventually they did, and then they couldn't because they didn't have enough money, and they should
have
just offered them points, but or some sort of forfeit.
But then Jim White was there in his helicopter, he's getting away.
It was all over the place. But yeah, I mean, genuinely, it's just a bizarre thing that happened, and I haven't got a clue what actually happened there, because it seems like
I don't think anyone does.
Because I mean, United were supposedly interested in Herrera for a while. It was at least 3 or 4 days where they had been linked with them.
And they didn't once deny it.
Yeah, they didn't deny it. And then there's all this about they're like this close to signing him, and like he's going to have a medical in the next few minutes and everything. And if so, it seems like maybe they did. It seems like maybe they had. They did offer that money, but maybe just the people, the lads, heard that there was this offer just went in just for the crack or something.
Well, when we were in Europe, we were pretending we were a band, so I mean
that's true. Yeah.
It can work sometimes.
It can work. Yeah, you just I think they were just doing that to get get some girls' attention.
Probably, yeah. They were chatting up some girls,
and they were like, "Yeah, we're Man United officials. We're actually just heading on in here to sort out a deal for Ander Herrera." This briefcase is full of €36 million.
The point I'm trying to make, anyway, is that it smacks of you know. When you're saying all this pulling apart, like remember when Hodgson went to Liverpool?
Yeah.
Couldn't improve the left back area in any way, so bought Konchesky. Bought an old player, and that's what, you know, Manchester United in the market for a midfielder for a long time. You know, Modric, Fabregas, Herrera, all these players, and then they end up having to buy the guy that he Moyes knows he'll move because he's got connections. It just has a bit of like.
It does have a bit of that, but I mean, it's just a lot of people are jumping on this, but. Fellaini's a good player.
No, I'm well aware.
I think it's a good signing. I mean, it's made them look a bit stupid because of the whole buyer clause.
That's all I'm saying. Way am I suggesting that Fellaini's not a good signing. I said a year or two back that he would have been an ideal Manchester United signing before, you know, Moyes went there. I just think it made United look very desperate in the transfer market. So does the whole Baines thing. I mean, the fact that it was released that they offered the exact same amount of money
as it turned out.
It's just. You know, it's ridiculous. It makes
it pretty coherent there.
Yeah, farcical stuff.
I think the point of it is very similar to the Ozil deal with Fellaini. It's like a good sign in isolation, but if it had been a Fellaini and or an Ozil and, it would have been brilliant. But it was just them two on their own. You're like, well, it hasn't solved any problems really. Like United would go, you have a Fellaini who's a very unorthodox centre midfielder. Now where he's going to play it?
He can kind of be a box to box in a way because he's got the you know,
but who will he dislodge? It seems like he's going to be playing like, you know, kind of behind the striker almost, which is where I think he actually plays his best football, you know.
Well, see, he's always
as a defensive midfielder, I think if he's as effective as a defensive midfielder as he has been as an attacking midfielder, him and Carrick sitting behind whoever they want.
But I think he showed before that he was. I think when he came to Everton at first, he was a central. They had Cahill playing off the striker, and they were using him.
When he came to Everton first, he scored a lot of goals. He was playing almost as a striker, which he's very versatile. That's what United have.
I think he's going to be a fantastic signing there. And the fact that they can switch him from defensive to attacking at any stage in the game makes him a very dangerous player.
I think the one thing is that he is an unorthodox player, and you know he can play a lot of positions. Whether he's versatile or he's just unorthodox, the one man who can get the best out of him is David Moyes. We know that because he knows him better than everybody else. So we move on there. Liverpool did some pretty good business.
I'm quite happy, which is
Sacco, Alori.
It's been a long time since we've been a transfer window where I'm quite happy with everything rounded up.
But I mean, Liverpool are one of the very few clubs that have gone out, done their business quietly, just gone on with it, bought some players. And bought players in the right positions. You know, they bought where they need to buy. Okay, you know, they didn't need Victor Moses, but why not just get him in?
You can see that we lost out on Mkhitaryan, we lost out on Willian, and so it was like, we'll take him. We need to strengthen that position a little.
Mkhitaryan's more of a midfielder, isn't he?
Well, Moses isn't going to play up front. He's going to play. Which is where one of those players would have played. Maybe you can debate that they would, but in the same way that. I know Sahin didn't work out, but Sahin was a midfielder and probably played out there a lot.
It's kind of a blessing that the Willian transfer didn't go through for Liverpool.
I don't think we should spend $30 million for a long time to let people forget about the other ones.
But
you know?
the money that would have been spent, that was spent improving other areas as well. No, they have, when fit, they have 6 centre-backs, I think, is it? Which is a lot.
Is the transfer window, like this is something, and I'm going to say I'm very stupid if I'm wrong, but is the Italian transfer window still open?
No, they're closed.
They're closed as well. Okay, good. Because then I'm delighted that we're keeping Skrtel, first of all.
Yeah.
we'll get to the Manchester United game, but you know, I felt like selling him would have been absolutely ridiculous. Also with Quates out and Touré just injured, and Touré, a player I felt, I'm happy enough let him sign him, but he better be like a fourth choice and not number one.
Well, he's
every
out
week.
For a while, which
he's
is...
out for a while, but I mean, we've
he'll
got Sacco.
Most likely going to be out for the season if
yeah.
Too. But Ilori and Sacco coming in look like they're a few. Now, I don't know what Ilori's like. Never seen a good play.
No.
I've seen Sacco play some games. He's quite big, strong, and he's quite
yeah.
quick as well.
Well, he fell out of favour
his
last...
technical ability is... I wouldn't question it. That's
yeah.
not what I'm saying. But I've never seen him... I've never really looked seen enough games for him to judge whether he's a good tackler. Or
last
yeah.
season, though, Leonardo... Or was it the season before? Leonardo called him overweight. And this was around the time where he got dropped as the PSG captain. It was also around the time where, like, wild money was being spent.
Yeah.
But... you know, I think he's still only 23. It's nice to sign a good up and coming young defender, really,
was,
is what he is.
It's proven that he is of a particular standard.
Yeah.
yeah. If he's captain
but
of Paris Saint-Germain, he's
yeah.
not, at 21.
The one thing
exactly.
that people have doubted about having those two, because this was before the whole thing was finished, like Skrtel could well leave, I mean, he could still leave in January or whatever,
yeah, yeah.
is that you'd imagine Agger and Sacco would be the starting,
yeah,
both very, very left-footed players.
I would, I think Agger and Skrtel will probably just stay as two for as long as they can. But I think Sacco,
yeah, I mean,
can offer
if,
that cover left
Skrtel
back
was,
as well, which is
yeah, yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
good and
Ilori
can
good offer cover right back.
Yeah,
as far as
because Sissoko's injured now for a while.
Yeah,
yeah. Although Wisdom's been getting a few games as well.
Andrew Wisdom, come on again. I was going to touch on this when we talked about Manchester United Liverpool, but he didn't impress in pre-season. That's been where it is that, you know,
yeah.
if you know, for a young player like that to come true, if he had a good preseason, they'd be thinking, well,
we don't need a fourth backup.
He's our fourth backup. Yeah. and he's just not settled in. He needs to go on loan to League Two for like a year.
You
get this. Get
on loan to Wigan.
Well, he didn't play much games though last year.
No,
he's gone now,
yesterday.
Did he? Well, I missed out on that one.
Missed out on that myself?
Yeah.
I'm almost either I heard it as a rumour or it happened. I'm
no,
pretty I'm, sure. Pretty sure it happened.
But he had played games.
It didn't happen. But anyway.
Jim White says it didn't happen.
Yeah. But anyway, my point being, even go back to last year when he started breaking into the squad a little, when we were out of defenders completely, he just looked so nervous at times on the ball. And even against Manchester United this week, I was terrified watching him. I was terrified for him because I didn't want his confidence to be shot to bits. But, you know, it's one of those things where you're just like, you're not ready to break in now. You need to go on loan, low down division, and you need to get smashed up a little, and you need to come back tougher, basically.
Just moving away from England, because there's too many transfers to talk about. Kaká moved to Milan. For free.
Yeah,
importantly,
so
for nothing.
Real only lost out about 53 million.
Yeah.
It's not bad. Too bad.
So, in what's he there? 4 or 5 years, Kaká?
4 years, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, in 4 years, will Bale go for free?
Possibly. Possibly.
He's probably got like a 5 or 6 year contract, so probably not.
Yeah. But it's just a strange one that he got for free and nobody else seemed too interested.
Absolutely delighted to be back in Milan as well.
Yeah.
What would you think? A smile on his face.
Poor Milan team though, unfortunately.
Well, he's not so good himself these days, is he?
Yeah,
he fits right in.
Milan sold Kevin Prince Boateng to Schalke for about 12 million, so they did good business there.
Yeah.
Can't get back in. Even if he only has, if he possibly has one good season.
As far as I'm concerned, Zach, he's not part of that Milan squad until his picture is uploaded to the site.
It's not just having a picture of the jersey.
A picture of an away Milan jersey.
Well, that's for the home one.
It just looks ridiculous.
That's what they're thinking. He won't be able to play too many games. They'll just play him in away games.
Yeah. I suppose they have to get the official photo. They could have just used an old photo of him even
yeah.
now. You know?
But a badly taken photo, like a screen grab of him
in a Real jersey,
a YouTube video or something.
Yeah. or even passing the ball to Crespo in the Champions League final, like one in the middle of a match while everyone else is just standing there.
It was a great pass.
Yeah,
it was a great pass. It was a great pass.
Had to, if we're talking about that Kaká, I had to bring that up.
Yeah. That was one of the bigger ones in Europe, I suppose.
More for its outrageous loss. I mean, that would have been perfect happening last week when we talked. If you haven't heard it, go back and listen to us talking last week about transfer inflation and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because he was a player we did touch on, I believe. So, I mean, it would have been ideal to happen last week. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. It does just not happen that way. Like Rooney leaving or handing that transfer request.
Yeah.
Anyway. Right, Grant.
I was wondering if you guys would be just up for briefly talking about, in a really selfish way, the Irish players that were part of the...
Well, Shane Long.
With the internationals coming up now, I think it would be ideal to talk a little about, you know, James McCarthy's move to Everton.
Well, it's good that he's back in the Premiership, because he's a Premiership standard player.
I mean, it'll be interesting to see the partnership of him and Darren Gibson.
It's not that good that he's back under Roberto Martinez, but, you know.
Really? No.
Well, he's a manager that knows.
Who knows how to use the best of him?
Yeah, but that's debatable.
Well, okay.
I don't know. I fear for Everton this season, and I fear that maybe not with the signs, they may have been quite good. Lukaku coming in. I don't know if I'd rather see McCarthy go somewhere with a little bit maybe higher profile. But, you know, like, I don't understand why United didn't go for McCarthy. Instead of Flaney and another centre midfielder, because McCarthy's shown a fair bit of promise, but I think he might just stagnate a bit under Martinez because, you know, it's the same systems.
You can look at that. You question whether McCarthy has done that much to warrant a move to United. I mean, he's looked very good, but that's a pretty poor Wigan team.
Yeah, 14 million though isn't a lot of money these days.
No, it's not. And yeah, okay, maybe he was worth a go, but I was looking at it and thinking maybe you'd almost want him to be slightly like Everton is probably okay. That's probably a decent standard for him to be at. But maybe even slightly lower than that, where he'd be guaranteed first choice, like depended upon. Yeah. As opposed to, he's now part of a midfield that...
Well, they got Barry in.
Osman, and they got Barry in, and they have Gibson. You know, will he be starting every week?
I mean, it's good for the Irish team, though, because Gibson and McCarthy are there.
And Seamus Coleman's.
And Seamus Coleman's there as well, you know. And so they have youngster Shane Duffy as well. They have a history of bringing through Irish players. So,
well, at the same time, as you just mentioned at the start, Shane Long had a last minute to move to Hull,
which fell through.
Really, like for me, I thought it was very strange. You explained it to me by saying they thought West Brom thought they might get Lukaku back, which makes a lot more sense. But I feel that, like, as far as West Brom go,
I was very
good last year.
Why would they try to sell him?
I thought they would have felt he's quite important to us.
Yeah, it's
even if they are getting Lukaku on loan, that means they have Anelka for a year, Lukaku for a year.
Yeah,
and after that,
and they have Matej Vidra, who's also only on loan.
They have Scotland there, don't they? As well?
They have Scotland there.
Who can only play for about a year because, you know, Tom at Man City last year can't play that much.
Yeah, so, it is a weird one. They also sold Odin Wingy as well. So, it's another player up front. They did get in possibly the worst signing of the whole transfer market. Victor Anachibi for $6 million.
6 million is that for any
like
5.5 million for a 7 cent now as well.
Which isn't
better
bad.
Than 6 for
it.
Yeah, it's better than 6.
It's a better player,
definitely. But they have sort of aging attacking midfielders. So.
Just to stick with it on the Irish team though, I mean, it's going to be interesting seeing, you know, Brady's there this year. He's going to be getting a lot of football. He's looked promising from the off. You know, Coleman's hopefully returning from a bad injury he had last year. You know, see how he gets on. McCarthy back in the league. Maybe Darren Gibson could be persuaded. Stephen Ireland went on loan to Stoke. You know, back in the Ireland squad someday, maybe.
Hopefully not.
Yeah, I hope not either.
Yeah.
Well, we'll join us next week when we rant about these Irish players being crap. Yeah, that's what we do. Who do you think is the best in the transfer window?
I'm very happy with Liverpool's business, I have to say. I feel as you said, especially because we went so calm and quietly and just got it done.
Yeah.
I feel that's always better than grabbing one of your old players last minute.
Yeah, it was great work from Liverpool, especially seeing as if you consider only spent like 16 million. If you consider the money that came back in. The money that you recouped for players that are muck, that's very impressive.
5 million for Downing.
Up until yesterday, I would have said Norwich, because they're the team that probably boosted their profile more than anyone. And I think Nathan Redmond is a very, very good signing for $3 million or whatever. And he's already proven to be, his hair is crap, but he's already proven to be a pretty good player at this level. But Everton, I think Lukaku on loan is probably one of the best deals of the
Do you not see that penalty we missed though, Rue? We should get on to it later. But actually,
that's exactly what they need, because they've been retaining possession very well this season, much better than they have under Moyes.
Yeah.
I think they have the highest possession stat in the whole league.
Don't like goals.
But they haven't scored goals. That's exactly what they need. They need someone who just is there to score goals. If Lukaku can get the same amount of goals that he got last season, they'd be flying.
None of us have mentioned Chelsea. No, yeah, they've done some pretty good business, not for the sake of oh, they got him for a bargain, didn't they? But they've signed some excellent players, you know, Sherlock coming in, and I'm pretty happy we're going to get to see Eto'o. I know he's older and not at his best, but I mean, I'm excited that we're going to see him in this
Mourinho
league.
Got a good bit out of him when he was at Inter. I question whether Mourinho might be a bit annoyed that they spent a lot of money on Willian and then Ozil came available after that.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
Because he's quite a big fan of
They also didn't need Willian, but whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it seemed like that was just to stop Spurs getting him.
Is it a question whether Ozil would even went there? Because
I mean, obviously, but he didn't seem too keen on going to Arsenal.
He didn't. He said himself that he didn't want to leave Madrid before, but he said Wenger persuaded him that this was the club for him. So I don't think he would have moved to Chelsea, especially with Mourinho being the manager.
No one said Newcastle.
No, but Newcastle were quite good with JFK.
Yes, judge me on my signings.
Yeah.
Well, we will.
Yeah,
we will judge you so hard.
We'll do that.
Didn't open a lot of doors, did he?
He opened wrong keys. He opened Harry Redknapp's car door.
Yeah,
to get Remy out, and that's about it.
You brought the wrong keys to the training ground. You have to go home and get them. And he just went to, the, you know, have a nap or something.
You haven't mentioned Spurs either. We've done
considering they've played, they've done it like a football manager team. When you get, you know, a war chest, so to speak, they bought in. Like, I mean, it is really exciting to see. I mean, say Christian Eriksen's a player we've talked about for a while. We all, I'm sure, relatively rate and think he's going to be an exciting player to see. You know, Lamela is another.
Yeah,
he's 21. Argentinian's played about 100 games in total so far. You know, as a 21-year-old, going back to River Plate and so that. So it's just exciting to see some decent young talent in there.
Yes, you just with Spurs, like, are they better off with these players or with Bale?
I always prefer a squad. They got rid of Okoto, and
they don't have a left back. Now they don't have any cover for Danny Rose.
They have
Vertonghen, who can play there. They brought in Vlad Cherichis as well, who can play there. Kyle Walker, but he's inconsistent a right back that you wouldn't want to put him.
But they don't have a cover for a right back.
Yeah,
either.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, they brought in a lot of these exciting players. They all play in the same position.
Yeah, but
they all play in the same position as some of the decent players that they brought in last season.
They've started a bit stale, but I feel with Villas-Boas, like,
he's a
slow
starter to this season.
Yeah, but I feel like he, I don't know, I do rate him as a manager, like, you know, the English media doesn't.
Yeah.
But I feel he's very tactically good. It's the only way I can say that.
Yeah.
And with these players, I feel like he can really put together a half decent team.
Yeah, with Porto, he did have a lot of attacking midfielders. Mm. I think the idea is probably to be able to just go, okay, Nasser Chadli looks wrecked. Take him out, Lamela's in, same system.
Good chance they could win the Europa League as well this season. They've almost got two squads by defensively.
Yeah.
I would say they're a little bit short, the fullbacks. Centre backs, they've got four, so, you know.
Yeah, and they've got two very confident goalkeepers as well.
They've probably got six goalkeepers. Gomez still in the books, isn't he?
Yeah, Gomez still there. I did say very competent, though.
Yeah, true.
So,
I don't know. I think they're probably better off all round with these players rather than having Bale. Whether they can get enough goals is a different story, though, because Bale scored a lot of goals outside the box that season, which is 10, 12, something like that. Free kicks as well included. So they'll be missing a few there. And
well, in the sense of, I mean, Soldado, you would bank him as a relatively, you know,
well, he hasn't looked very good so far.
No, but the whole team hasn't looked good so far.
Yeah,
any
fair point. I read as soon as the Soldado was signed, was that he'll score a hat load of goals, but you'll never remember any of them. It seems fairly accurate.
Well, he's got two penalties.
Exactly. You're not going to bother. He'll probably score a good few tap-ins and stuff.
Yeah, but that's the point.
Particularly with these creative players around him.
That's the thing. If they can get him scoring, that's great, but we'll talk about the Arsenal match when we get there.
Mm.
Anyway, look, Premier League, Liverpool beat United 1-0. The good news just keeps on coming for Hector
Mara. It really does, doesn't it? I joked last week about it not being a good week for Liverpool because, you know, jealous of your Champions League happenings while I wasn't as involved or as invested. I great, really.
Storage, three goals, three games.
Yeah, 3-1-0s.
Clean sheets, I know you were saying about Mingele, you went to...
No, he's solid enough. He wasn't tested a lot, though.
No,
Manchester United were very poor.
I think, in fairness, Liverpool did a very good job keeping Van Persie out. That's really all you have to do.
Yeah, that is all you have to do.
It's hard, but if you do that,
the two wingers had plenty of space if they wanted to use it, but They were awful.
He nearly
terrible.
He nearly kept himself out of Van Persie if he'd kept fighting in the first half where he hadn't seen that in a while.
Gerrard was giving him a bit of mouth.
Yeah, the two of them. Well, you kind of just there was a late because he had an argument with Agger earlier in the game and then just had a late old kick at Agger. And then pulled Skirtle, and it was just like he was just obviously frustrated because, as you're saying, Liverpool did a good job in stopping his game.
He's not
but,
used to
not
scoring four goals.
But it was funny because it seemed to go on for a long time. It was like, is he going to keep going and actually get himself sent off? Because if he does, we could have this 2 or 3 nil, I reckon.
But going back to Milan, I think like he is a good shot stopper, and I don't think he's anything else. His kicking. Is awful.
Oh yeah, well I said this last week.
The amount of times that I don't think any of his kickouts went to Liverpool players.
I know it wasn't as bad. It wasn't as bad this week as it was Villa. It was much worse in the Villa.
Well, okay, I didn't see that.
Kicking is something that can easily be rectified for the keeper. You spend 2 weeks doing that, 3 weeks. You know,
well, it has to be because they'd lose the ball so much with just and a team that had more incision in the midfield would. Like if that was against Chelsea, they could have.
It's also
just getting that much possession in those areas of the pitch because it was always kind of towards the wing, and then would have was picked up by the likes of Ashley Young or Cleverley or Carrick or whatever. And if they were quicker on the break, they could have gotten in behind a lot more.
It's also worth noting that at this stage we're not a team that likes a high ball anymore at all. Look at most areas of our midfield. I mean. Say starting with Sturridge, who doesn't get up for it. Like Coutinho does that same thing that I used to always get annoyed at. Babel and Pennant for doing, which is you like to kind of jump beside a player. But you're not actually contesting for the
Coutinho
ball.
Coutinho actually beat Phil Jones at one stage in the air, and then he beat someone else who just should not have been beaten.
But just throughout that attacking line, I mean, say Aspas, I mean even Luis Alberto when he came in, you know, even Gerrard to a degree. I know Gerrard can win a header, but I mean. All in all, we're not a team that likes it up in the air anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel, for most of it, with Mignolet's kicking, a lot of the time we are going to
lose
it.
I mean, Gerrard's good in the air. Mm. We've seen that before. But you're not going to get Joe Allen win too many headers.
Yeah, well,
you're not going to get Coutinho win too many headers.
Yeah, Anderson. You know, but I felt it was the exact same thing that I said last week. And it's weird because the three games have been so alike in a way for Liverpool where we had an excellent first half. Now, United had about, after we scored, a 10-15 minute period where they attacked. But it was good football in the first half, and Liverpool were quite dominant, especially towards the end. I mean, United didn't create a lot.
Yeah.
They won the ball back and broke. And
I don't remember
I
don't remember too many really good chances. I remember Rob Van Persie.
On his right foot. Hernandez played Van Persie.
Yeah, and that one was right.
He really should have hit the target. But it's funny that we say that because I thought of that after, and I was like, it's not a great angle for him. And in my head, I'm like, he should have scored that.
Yeah,
I've seen him score a break.
He should have lifted with his left foot around.
It's such a difficult chance, though. Like, what we've come to expect from Van Persie is that he just scores from whenever he gets the ball.
Yeah.
If that was on his left foot, it'd give him a much better chance.
He had a bit more relaxed, maybe. He seemed a bit, as we were saying.
Yeah, he was right.
I don't think he was enjoying that game at all. Like, I think the defenders did a good job of keeping him out.
Hmm.
Didn't get to the ball too many times. And when he did, he just seemed like there was... He almost seemed a bit, I wouldn't say frustrated because he never liked that, you know, he's never liked that Arsenal, but he is carrying United, which was what he was doing at Arsenal. And, you know, he looks up and he goes, who am I passing to here, you know?
Strange, like, when's the last time we talked about, or when's the last time I singled out Glenn Johnson for praise defensively? I mean, he was excellent and it was, you know, throughout the team, it really stuck there. I think we haven't even talked about the goal yet, which was...
I
found it was an excellent goal,
to
be honest.
It was great movement.
You don't see that a lot, and it was very, very sharp and quick from Sturridge to be able to turn that in. Like reflex, nearly.
To think like that, to be thinking, I'm going to run into the goal, behind the keeper, and kind of back out in front of these lads. Like, I'm sure he was just doing it to distract players, but then he saw the ball and said...
But like,
you know,
an awkward ball like that coming to you...
Somebody might try to control it, try to get the shot, or back it in, but he just taps it in.
Mm.
It was really... But when a player's playing like that, they have confidence, it does happen. You can see that. And
be interesting to see what happens when Suarez comes back in now.
That's what's going. Where will Suarez fit in? You know, maybe play up front together.
I'd be happy putting him out wider. I don't know. Like, he used to be left winger for Ajax.
Yeah, but he has been a very good centre forward.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he can do that. What he likes to do is come deep and mess with the ball anyway and take people on.
Maybe he could even be the one who plays in behind.
Yeah.
And Coutinho can play out in the wing.
Yeah. But like, that's the thing, you can move it around throughout the game.
Exactly.
I mean, how often do you see that? I mean, like, say, I know it's not the best example.
Been able to do it.
Yeah, but look at, remember Chelsea a few years back where they, I know it's not a great example, but they had like Drogba, Anelka, Sturridge, you know, and they were kind of, and Torres, and they were forcing them out on the wing. I know it's not ideal for those players, but we have players much more suited to it, where like, Suarez could easily have a great game.
Have Suarez on the wing than Torres.
Yeah, exactly. And Suarez, if anything, loves coming from those positions and running into the box. You know, it's ideal.
Have you not got anything to worry about this season?
No, I think they'll do well still. I think, you know, they've still dealt with teams. You know, we're the first. I know Chelsea game's a bit stale, and the second half of the Liverpool United game's a bit stale. So maybe they need more cutting edge. But I think in, I wouldn't say the bruiser, but you could call Fellaini a bruiser in a sense of battering ram like that in the midfield, along with some class up front, and if they can get Ferdinand and Village playing most games, and you know, relatively solid defence, they should be fine.
Ah, Fellaini playing centre back by the end of the season. Right, move on to Arsenal Tottenham then, hey?
That was a
really exciting match. It was end to end, so lots of chances.
Yeah.
As an Arsenal fan, maybe, because you're sitting there watching, oh god, they're going to score.
Yeah, it was probably the same, because I heard people give out the United Liverpool game as well. I thought it was alright.
I think
so. It's probably more of a bias.
I was actually only I had the radio on for parts of it, which was about 10 seconds ahead of the television coverage.
Ah, that's annoying.
And well, it was kind of not, but it was near the end of the game. I had one headphone kind of in, and they were saying, the station that was listening to, their coverage was, they were saying that we're going to give man of the match to Aaron Ramsey, had a really good game. Or sorry, Giroud, sorry, he had a really good game today holding the ball. And Sky Sports went, yeah, it's Aaron Ramsey. I was like, what? There's no clear cut favour here. They're saying, just jumping on this Aaron Ramsey playing well bandwagon.
Yeah.
But he did have a decent game. But I mean, Arsenal had a good game defensively, which you wouldn't say very often.
Yeah, really, I think Spurs, as we said, they're still in that gelling together phase. There was no fluency about their football at all. No. It was kind of all over the place.
Kind of glad to play Spurs this time of year.
Yeah, exactly.
I think we played them in March, and they're going to be a much better team in March. Mm-hmm. I mean, I said Cesaro barely touched the ball in that match.
Yeah,
you wouldn't be a player against a lot of touches, but
he needs that supply, and he just didn't get.
Is that because they were gelling, or because Arsenal did a good job keeping the ball away?
A bit of both.
A bit of both.
I think Arsenal are bound to have a good game defensively eventually, aren't they?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Koscielny was brilliant again. Like, he wasn't there the last game of the season.
He'll be sent off next week now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, he's so erratic. If he could just play well consistently, he'd be top defender. Like, he's got the attributes for it. He's such a physical player.
That's easy to say about any player.
Yeah, I suppose.
If he could just score consistently, he'd be a good striker.
Well, a lot of people do say that. It's worth pointing out again, Giroud, the man to make the difference. He's looking good this year. Said last year he's imposing himself on the game more, which is what a player like him needs to do. And his goal was the exact same as against Aston Villa.
Very good at getting in and front and across the defender.
He got a lot of, what's the other word, a stick last season. For that, I remember he missed early on in one of the games. He took on his right foot, and it's like, oh, he's crap. He's played four games in the Premiership or something.
Unless you start off like completely straight out the blocks and you're scoring goals,
that's it. You're crap.
Yeah, you're under a lot of pressure.
To come in after, I mean, imagine say Sturridge hadn't scored in his first three games, and Suarez in there, we'd be talking about he's not able to replace.
Exactly.
That's what it was. There was a mindset of that at Arsenal where Podolski and Giroud were in for Van Persie, and they weren't replacing what he was doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's taken him some time, but he's looking good now, Giroud, and it's looking like they're learning to play for him as well.
Yeah, like he said that himself. He says, I know my teammates a lot better than they know me.
Yeah. I mean, Walcott was the one who crossed it in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, how often do I give out about Walcott? But he knew, you could see he knew what he was, where he was putting it for Giroud to get in front of us.
Yeah,
and
good understanding there.
With Mesut Ozil, you could bet that he'll get a good few assists anyway, because
most assists,
he loves an assist.
Mm. He's 151 or something. 151
in 5 years.
Yeah,
that's
get your money on Giroud for top goal scorer.
How many is that season?
No, it's like 30. Yeah. 30.
Just below
2.
Was it? Oh, over 30. Oh,
151 over 5.
Yeah, actually.
The most, along with Messi, has the most assists over the last 3 years in La Liga.
He on Walcott actually, but just he set up one of Ramsey's goals in the Champions League as well from a nice back from across. Now, whether he meant to get it to Ramsey's different side, but it was when Ramsey tapped in on the move, which was a great goal. So if you could, you know, if somebody's just actually sat down and said, look, you're a great player, you've got great pace, got great skill, you're not a great player though because you make the wrong decision, just put the ball into that area. Yeah, but just
telling a modern day footballer that they're not very good. Sure, they love that.
But
he has all the attributes to be a much more.
If only he could play well consistently.
If he could play well consistently and do good stuff a lot of
this
the time.
This is going to be renamed eventually the Walcott Conundrum when they're talking about future players, because it's the same argument that's been made.
It's
for
the same argument though. A lot of these players, like even Sturridge, and you could argue, it's like, oh, he's just stuck out in the wing, he's out in the wing. Maybe even Sturridge's form for Liverpool is an indication that Walcott can play up front for Arsenal.
I'm not going to agree in the slightest with that, but I'll let you make your point.
Well, Sturridge is a player who played out the wing a lot and never looked really convincing, but they always have potential.
Mm.
And he was to Bolton, scored a good few goals there on loan.
If Walcott went on loan to Bolton...
he scored on loan. Or would he?
I'd be happy.
Right, move on from that one then. Good Arsenal defending, that's the other point I wanted to make. But, actually, Lloris, just before we move, Lloris tackle, very good. Coming out of the box, tapping it away with his right foot. Just about getting to it.
Probably the best tackle I've seen.
BBC commentator was adamant it was a free kick. And I went, oh, that's a wonderful piece of tackle. He's like, that's a wonderful tackle from Lloris.
Yeah. Well, he's like, he'll do that. He's very good at
it. Sounds like sweet commentator paper. Sound like he needs a lozenge. Very crusty voice.
But he held that, you know, when he goes, oh, that's a wonderful save. But he held it for like almost 2 sentences. It's like, oh, and it's like, gotta go back to your normal voice there. I hurt my jaw, actually. Move on. Newcastle, Fulham. Newcastle get a win against Fulham at home. Yeah, good result. Great goal by Van Arfa. I suppose it's kind of the highlight.
Late on as well. Yeah. Like pressure. You could feel the pressure. You could feel the 92nd minute boos starting. You know, the end of the whistle, entire stadium booing.
The 92nd boos. Like Mike Ashley down the road to boos.
But yeah, you could really feel like tension was building. It was like Kabay came on. It was like kind of half bad, half good.
Yeah.
Too good, too bad reception for him.
Which is back.
But it wasn't a great reception for him. It was a bit mixed, which Pardew looked a little happy about in his post-match press conference, where they said, you know, think they got it right. Some of them booed him, some of them clapped. He's a great player. But I think some of the Newcastle fans were saying, you know, Newcastle comes first. I was like, not to a Frenchman who has no connection but Newcastle. Yeah. Probably would have more connection but Arsenal.
His career is falling pretty quickly by just being associated with Newcastle at this stage.
No, I think, you know, we're talking mainly about this game because it's two teams we're not so sure will improve. I'm sure Fulham will improve on how they're playing now, but not a huge amount.
Players are 40.
Yeah, well, did you see Berbatov? I mean, he had an atrocious game.
Yeah,
everything he tried didn't come off.
He'll have a good game every once in a while.
Yeah.
And he'd do his best, really, like, sometimes. But then sometimes he just looks like he's bothered, like, he just doesn't want to get into it.
Darren Bent had no shots, but was caught offside, like, 6 times.
Yeah, well, that's what Darren Bent will give you. Yeah. He'll get you the odd goal.
In fairness to Darren Bent, though, he's not played. He needs to get a good 10 games in a row so he can start getting back to his sharp best. I think they made some decent signings instead of, like, Scott Parker and stuff. I think that's a decent enough sign to have in the midfield.
Do you think that Martino might get sacked?
I hope he doesn't.
Owner in there, and
yeah, he
hasn't
seem,
done anything
yeah,
in the last few years.
He hasn't been given any funds. Like a new owner, and
yeah, it's actually a fair point. I thought, oh, they've bought some players, and I thought, actually, they really haven't spent a lot of money. I didn't
know.
Whereas Stekelenburg didn't even play today. It was
probably their best signing, actually, Stekelenburg, because he made some very good. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel for this year, probably their best signing.
He didn't play in the other game. It was the other lad whose name I can't think of.
Stockdale, yeah.
That's the one. David Stockdale played during the day. Now, I don't know why. I didn't hear why Stekelenburg was out. I wonder if he was dropped or he's just injured.
Mm.
But yeah. I think he probably will be a good signing, but if I look at Fulham and go, jeez, that could be a bit of a QPR there. You know, spent money over a couple of years, but probably have big wages on players like even Stekelenburg and Berbatov and stuff like that. You kind of wonder, and Scott Parker, you go, you know, they don't start getting wins.
Yeah, I think they will start getting wins as it goes on, though. I think all in all, they don't have enough. Like, QPR were one that didn't have enough experience. They had players like Gabadon that they were kind of counting on for experience.
And Gabadon, he scored this weekend?
He did.
Yeah.
He didn't mean to. But I think Fulham would be all right in the sense of, I know it's silly to say this, but I mean, you look at like Hangeland, they've got relatively settled defence, and that Reese has played in there before. I don't think there's enough woeful players. I don't think there's enough Hangeland beside Clint Hills to send that team
Clint
down. He did. He scored against Leeds.
Yeah, QPR.
But
comeback trail there.
Yeah.
Clint Hill and Nico Cranchar in the same team. Clint Hill with Ben Watson caught it beside him.
Get it back onto the Premier League. Anyway, Ben Arfa's goal.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm gonna stick my neck out in the most boring and, you know, awful way that no one will care about and say, that's definitely goal of the month. Guarantee you that now. Sticking my neck out.
Did he score in August?
I think he scored it in August, didn't he? We're in September now.
Yeah,
it's 21st.
Yeah,
it's
right at the end of August.
August.
Yeah.
When does that get decided?
Don't know. Maybe they've already decided. Maybe
goal of the month.
Will
come at me, internet.
Will Alan Pardew last as well?
Probably
the duration of his 8-year contract.
Or will Joe?
It's down to 7 now, real right? It'll be ridiculous.
Will Joe Kinnear last? You know.
Oh, if he does, then
couple it.
That's just shambolic.
Oh yeah, this is the question I asked last week. Who would go first?
Yeah.
I think the only person who'll go quicker than Pardew is probably Di Canio.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. From one bad manager to another, it's Paolo Di Canio, Sunderland team. That's 3-1 to Crystal Palace.
Where do we start? Can we start with G?
We could start with G if you want.
I would like to. It's probably the funniest.
Start with the letter G and Danny Gabaldon's goal.
Go on to Gabaldon first.
This is probably the best goal I've seen Danny Gabaldon score.
Well, he hasn't scored in what was it? 160.
Goal of the month for Danny Gabaldon. I guarantee you that.
Goal of the season.
He hadn't scored in what was it? 116. Appearances, and he's been in the championship a lot. And he goes up for corners. All right, that's all I'm saying. Let's say he's gone up for more than 100. Say 2 per game or less. Okay, say 1 per game. He's not scoring 116 corners. Let's double that. You know, you just get ridiculous thinking about these things.
Well, Nesta never used to score, and I've never seen. It was an interview, but it was an extract from interview. We said, I kind of just stopped going for corners. Said I never scored for them. Mm. There was no point. I just let the rest of the guys go for them.
But that's not putting Danny Gabaldon off. Nesta's a coward. Gabaldon's a hero.
Fair point. He scored from whoever headed down. It just kind of flicked off the back of his leg and went in without him knowing.
And then someone else tried to claim it.
Yeah, well, look, you'll do that. Stephen Fletcher's goal came on after in the second half because G was taken off, and G did not look happy with this because.
But basically, surely everyone's seen the replay, but just in case you haven't, the ball was crossed in, opportunity to head at goal, and he basically saw either the defender or the keeper coming and ducked out of it, chose not to because he was worried about injury. It was like absolutely outstanding. And they had, say, Michael Owen, Robbie Savage on Match of the Day, and two who I don't really agree with often, with hilariously contrasting voices as well. But they were really spot on the coverage where they're just like, that's absolutely absurd that he can go for that, but Paolo Di Canio shouldn't be destroying him in public over it because
Well, there was somebody said there might have been, he thought it was a wasp there or something. He pulled back. Yeah, genuinely, yeah.
That's not true, though. If you look, it's not down to a wasp. Yeah, it's down to the defender coming out and possibly going to kick it.
Something caught his eye.
Yeah.
I don't think any wasp would pull out of it.
No.
Or most other professional footballers who
not even professional.
You have physios waiting for them, you know, to come out and help them if they're injured.
It's I don't remember seeing that ever before.
Yeah, well,
I've seen players really pull out, but not as obvious and as strange as that one because he was going to win that header.
Yeah.
He was first to it, you know.
It's a good opportunity for to kind of to drop him because he's an awful
it's good, and he did bring on, as you said, Steve.
Fletcher scored a very good header.
That was a fantastic.
He's just.
He's
just one of those guys that, as a striker, he's just always in the right place no matter what.
Mm.
Like, it's really strange. Like, if you look at most of his goals, I guarantee you, you know, a huge chunk of it would just be because of his positioning.
Yeah.
That he happened to wander into this position. And he's so good at that.
Well, so that's what, I mean, it's an attribute of his is that he can get into those positions and score goals. And that's a positive, you know.
He's going to be incredibly important to them again, isn't he?
He's very good as well. Like, those first time finishes, you know. He finds himself in those positions and just takes the chance. And,
yeah.
Like, people were praising Jalovic last season before that for, like, I think all his goals came from just one touch. But, you know, Stephen Fletcher's very good at that as well.
Stephen Fletcher's very good in the air as well.
Yeah.
He's going to be probably the number one.
If he stays fit,
I can see him scoring a good few goals this season.
But he's going to be vital to them, you would imagine.
I can still see Sunderland having a pretty poor season.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
They brought in Barini, they have Altidore there as well as forwards, but
I gotta say, American accent's not always my thing, but really like Altidore's accent. Just how he talks. It's like, it reminds me of watching NFL when he starts talking. You're just like, yeah, and how did the quarterback do? Tell us, Josie. Lovely stuff.
Lovely. O'Keefe scored a wonderful goal as well for Palace. Really, really topped the game. It was a really terrible day of Premiership football on Saturday. Watching most of that Everton Cardiff match was mind bending.
Get John O'Shea also got a red card.
John O'Shea
for
got sent off. Yeah,
possibly the this is really like right before big games against Sweden and Austria to see him do that. It's like, oh,
don't worry, the band doesn't carry over.
It's okay. But you know, which Gail put the pen away. Actually, imagine an interesting stat on that, which was 2 years, it was an anniversary 2 years that he scored a hat trick for a Conference South team, and like 2 years later he scored in the Premier League. He got his first goal, so that was an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think still the O'Keefe's was wonderful.
Beauty.
Just kind of curled it over.
Put your neck out and say goal of the month.
Goal of the month. Goal of the month. Yeah, goal of the month.
It was also worth noting that I didn't see Too Good Too Bad this week, unfortunately, lads. Oh. But I'm sure they had Too Good Too Bad, which was, you know, Holloway doing his little dance.
Yeah.
After they scored, which I'm sure Shane Keane loved. And back after that to like DiCanio, just irate, like blaming pretty much everyone.
Bar himself.
Well, he did to the fans. When he went to the fans, he kind of clapped them and pointed, it's my fault, it's my fault.
He's
and then
too
after.
Top, just yeah. Relax.
Yeah.
You know, it's just too much, it's too much.
He relax. Also said that he hopes that they play less national games, his team.
Yeah, I saw that.
Saying that their heads weren't in the right space. They were all thinking about flights, which is. Probably not true.
He just needs to tone it down. Like,
yeah, that's why I think he'd be gone first.
It's a good chance. Put that in your predictions. Moving away from the Premiership, but sticking with the Premiership team, who are in European action. It's the Super Cup. Chelsea and Bayern 2-0.
Had a chance to talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, this is only on Friday.
Cracking Super Cup.
Yeah, it was quite good. Yeah. I always said last week that nobody's really interested in this match, but like it's on a Friday night and you're like, I'll watch that, I suppose.
First one to ever go to penalties.
Yeah, in 41 or something occasions, they said. Which is...
Was it Liverpool, Barcelona, Valencia, and someone else had won it? Was it Porto? Won it in extra time. Those are the only four clubs that's ever got extra time, and then I could be wrong with that.
It could well have ended in extra time if it wasn't for...
the last kick again.
Yeah, but the last kick was...
Pretty much, yeah.
Martinez.
Yeah.
Just
who... I don't understand why he didn't start him.
Yeah, he was only coming back from injury.
I know, but
You wouldn't want to risk him in a game.
Well,
the Super
Cup. Yeah, maybe the Super Cup, but he hasn't really. He's tried to change around the system that they have, because they had the two sitting midfielders and then the three ahead of.
No, see, that was the problem though. Two of the midfielders were just sitting down during the game.
Yeah,
but again, it's worth pointing out. Schweinsteiger was injured, and Martinez was returning from injury.
But no, I mean even. In other games, when he's had those, he seemed like.
But I mean, there's not a lot of games gone yet either.
I know, it's just this.
I agree. He played.
He
Lam.
Seems to be trying to.
Yeah.
Change the system to suit the system that he had with Barcelona, which I just don't think is the best idea.
I don't necessarily.
The Bayern Munich system worked very well.
Yeah, exactly. Like.
But I mean, you're always going to stamp your own mark on a team. I think. He played Lam in defensive mid preseason, so you could see that was a thing he had planned on doing. But I think it was very obvious from the start that, look, Rafinha on that right back isn't going to be as good. Bring Lam in, the defence looks a lot healthier. And put Javi Martinez in the middle, and the midfield looks a lot healthier. It was as simple as that. And he actually, in fairness, picked it up and did it in the second half.
Yeah.
They gave Javi Martinez some.
Strangely, seemed to have started Lam ahead of Toni Kroos. And Toni Kroos sitting further back.
No, not really.
Weird.
Like
in the opening of 20 minutes or so, it seemed like that was the case. I mean, Toni Kroos has played defensive midfielder for Germany quite a bit, but that's because he's in beside Schweinsteiger and it's sort of a.
But I wouldn't say it was,
Alonso.
Yeah,
thing.
I wouldn't say he was defensive, but I get what you mean.
He was the one that was meant to be starting the attacks from deeper.
Yeah,
I think was the idea.
Yeah.
Didn't really work.
Mm.
Change it around.
Interesting. But Hallard's goal is quite good.
Yeah.
It was really dreadful defending as well.
Well, defenders.
Yeah, but Dante came out far too easy. I think it was Dante. No, it was Jerome Boateng. Sorry, Jerome Boateng came out terribly, and Lam probably made like one of the few mistakes he made in that game at that goal. So it was like passed two of those far too easily, and then ball right under Neuer. You're like, I'd be very disappointed for if I was a Bayern fan, I'd see him go like that.
And in contrast, Cech made some wonderful saves. I think it was Mandzukic's header.
Yeah.
Two were in almost a minute. And the second one was brilliant. I mean, get across the way he did. Although, when I saw the goal go in the first time, I actually thought, oh, I thought you might have got to that. But yeah, I saw the replays, I guess, quite far away.
Yeah, actually, Frank Ribery's, we've got to say, he was absolutely incredible in that game. Say, like
that. Unbelievable.
He was, though. He was absolutely outstanding. Yeah. He had such a good game. In contrast, like, Robben was dreadful.
Yeah, he'll do that.
Yeah, but...
only one of them could play
Frank Ribery revelling in his newly crowned best player in Europe.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was crowned player in Europe. Best player in Europe the day before, and then
by who?
By UEFA.
Really?
Yeah. He won at the Champions League draw. That weird torso thing.
I wouldn't say
who gave him out, and did they have trouble handing him the trophy? All of the other guests had trouble opening the balls. Except for Michael Owen, who was like, I know how to do this. I do it every day at home.
I've been practicing.
And the winner is Michael Owen. But I think it's worth we have to get to the central part of this game, which was that Andy Townsend said that Ramirez's red card was not justified.
Yeah.
Despite it being an absolutely disgraceful challenge in which he beat Götze to the ball, decided to still defend Götze and injured Götze for, you know, the next say 3 weeks I think he's out for. All the while, Townsend, you know, decides, no, it's not a foul. And not only that, was backed by so many people on Twitter saying that Götze dived. They weren't looking at his feet then. Ramirez kicked his ankle. It was outrageous. It was such a dreadful tackle.
He was kicking people a lot in that game. I don't think he was with it at all in that game. He just seemed completely off the pace to me.
It was absolutely awful, though. It was such a stupid thing to do. Because he was the first to the ball. He could have nicked that ball. Like, this is how much time he had. It wasn't a 50-50 anyway. He could have... like, kicked that ball off to the right or left and gone down and won a free kick. But he decided to go past and over the ball into Götze. It was absolutely disgraceful,
Let's move on to the penalties then. They were all pretty good until Lukaku stepped up.
Yeah, and now he's got a low.
Now he's off whatever. It was an awful penalty. You can see him stepping up.
I was disappointed they left him till fifth. I feel like it's the first kind of big game he's played in, you know, really. Like, not the first
was
big game,
fifth
but
or sixth.
He was the last. He was the fifth. One. Yeah,
I thought they'd come to the sixth.
No, he was the fifth one. So for me, I know he's taken penalties for West Brom before.
Yeah,
but I feel, you know, I think Ashley Cole was fourth.
Yeah, who were very near.
But put Lukaku. And
everybody would have loved
Lukaku
it if
in. Yeah, put Lukaku in fourth.
Yeah,
Ashley Cole's actually a very good penalty.
Yeah, and he's knows the bigger situation a lot better.
Yeah,
I think
you
that's,
can deal
for me.
Pressure,
if you're looking at that, you're thinking, even if Ashley Cole does miss, or if Lukaku misses fourth, you've still got the ones after you have a chance of making it up. Whereas that one was like, you know, he's dead last taking the penalty under all that pressure.
Didn't look confident.
No.
Well, like, I don't like that short run up as well.
Yeah, it was bad.
It was a terrible penalty. I've said it before and I've said it a million times. If you're not sure where to put a penalty, if you don't think you're confident enough to put it right to the keeper, like into the keeper's, like very into the corner net, basically, you know what I mean? If you can't put it into the corner net with pace, just hit it down the middle with a bit of pace in the air, because some chances are the goalkeeper's going to be picking the side anyway. If you put a height on it down the middle, it's going to probably just go in most of the time. The chances of the keeper staying in the middle are very slim. If you kind of come up and even just hit it a little bit to the left or a little bit to the right, and if you put the right height on it, they're going to get, that's not that hard to kick a ball straight down the middle. What was the guy doing? He rolled the penalty to Neuer pretty much. There was no pace in it. Neuer stopped it, and it may not even cross the bloody line, for God's sake. Neuer could have had time to dive and get back up and save it.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel, though, that, like, obviously the pressure got to him. He wasn't even on that long. He barely got to be involved in the game. So I feel like...
Well, it was just literally kick the ball up towards the Lukaku.
Yeah, because they were 2-1 up at the time. But I just feel that's, like... I feel that's a bad situation for him to be put in. And, I know players can say, I'm up for this, I want to take a penalty.
Yeah.
But I still feel like in Mourinho's head, he should have gone, having him dead last is definitely going to be a huge...
Have him second, have him third.
Even though it's not like it's a huge, you know, I know it's a Super Cup in a way where we're saying it's not really that. It's a trophy to win. I'm delighted. I'm also delighted because Mourinho has never won that trophy.
Yeah.
And he really went out of his way to just like kind of be an asshole at the end.
In
where he's like, where he talked about the best team lost.
Yeah.
He kind of made a few insults at Pep and everyone was kind of asking Guardiola after. It was one of those things you could clearly see. It was like, say you go to a school reunion and there's that guy in the class that you just hate and you don't want to talk to. Like, he was leaving all these remarks as if Guardiola said, he's like, be back to Germany tomorrow, I won't have to see him ever again. You know? It was just that about it.
He's only played one other Super Cup, hasn't he?
Mourinho.
Yeah, because he left Porto the year.
He was not Porto when. Yeah,
but he would have played in the Europa League, what, the UEFA Cup when they won that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Season after that, but he left Porto after they won Champions League. He left Inter after they won Champions League.
Yeah.
So he would have only played one, I assume. Then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guardiola also won the only thing Heynckes didn't win.
Yeah, exactly.
And dedicated it to Heynckes in that traditional have to show like. Same thing at Moyes' age, kind of thing. You have to show respect, which is.
But he can win more than Heynckes did.
Yeah.
There you go.
Unpokal out, lads. That's all I'm going to say.
He could actually potentially win five. Is the
Intercontinental Cup.
Yeah.
Or whatever it's
called.
The World Club. That's
Championship. It did seem, though, that Bayern were just. It seemed like it just had to be Bayern that would win that. And just the way it was going, even though Chelsea were 2-1 up with about 4 seconds left, I was still like, Bayern are going to win this. Even Bayern seemed to be like, well,
we're going
to
win
we
this.
We just have to win. Like, there's no other option. We have to win this game.
Well, it's
pretty
much the way they were last year. But they were like, we have to win. But that meant just smashing loads of goals past people instead.
It's funny though, isn't it? Like, as we talked, just touching on Mourinho again. This is the exact thing I talked about last week, in which he's acting all mature and like, I don't care. Yeah, it's unlucky. And whereas this week, like straight after, it was like, well, the ref did this, and
we lost.
They were terrible. Not terrible, but they didn't try and play any bit of football at all. Chelsea that game. And they were counter attacking nicely, but
Utley had they went there to 9 men even. There was unlucky really for them that they went there to 9 men.
But even still, you can look at it and say, any other time they would have been. Perfectly happy with a 1-1 draw or a 2-1 draw with Bayern Munich. It's a good result. It just had to be settled. So
good result. Get him to the second leg. That's something. Right, move on to just briefly into Europe. Barca Real Madrid won.
Well, but then
off to Italy then.
touching on the few new signings. I mean, Isco looking good for Real Madrid.
Twice,
gonna probably. Well, no, not
drop
be their best, not their best player this year. Under Ronaldo, he's probably going to be their most important player. I'd say.
If Isco is their most important player, you can't just say Ronaldo's the most important player. But if Isco plays really well, then he's the most important player.
Yeah, I'm just going to say that Ronaldo probably still will be, but under him, Isco is going to be massive to that club. And I'm sure that's not a big thing to say. I'm sure it's relatively obvious to everyone, it's worth stressing that he's. Excellent player, he looked.
He's unreal.
I mean, we got to watch him in the under-21s in the summer, and we're so excited getting to see him play all the time.
But
I think
the thing about it is that how quickly he's adapted to just being at such a big club and so much pressure and everything. And he's just taken to it as he did when he broke through with Malaga. And there was a lot of pressure on Malaga,
and he was playing the Champions League last year.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is completely
it's not completely alien to him. Yeah. But he's 21. Some young players could kind of feel like,
this is too much. Yeah,
it's a lot. But
and
he's
the
just,
nice
he
thing
just
is,
kind of goes
he's
just
played
just
football.
Plays football.
It's nice for him as well that he's not looked at as say if he doesn't totally live up to that potential of the money, he's not going to be the big flop player.
Yeah, exactly.
There's an absolute outrageous bids going on there. So
all the pressure isn't on him to succeed. That's pretty much it's on
Bale. The pressure's. It's not even on. The pressure's on Bale obviously to succeed, but there's obviously more just not to fail.
Exactly.
Just don't fail.
Even Romendi will get away with it for a couple of years, even though we cost almost 40 million.
Yeah. People would just be like, I forgot they had him. He'd be in and out of the team for Alonso and Kadir or wherever he'll play. Anyway.
Also, touching on Barcelona, it was nice to see Messi score a goal with Neymar getting the assist.
Play together.
Yeah, I know. Everyone jumped into this early on. And also there's, I can't remember who it was even, it's a great interview online about Messi's recent problems in Barcelona, which is why a lot of people are suggesting he was off
the
pitch recently. But there's a few things like that which worth checking out if you can read them online.
Yeah.
But as I said to Rue before that, never mind Messi's hat-trick and never mind Postiga's absolutely excellent overhead Helder Postiga's excellent overhead volley. Martino definitely stole the limelight route with his beautiful lime green tea. Absolutely, we were just talking about this before you arrived, Sock, that he's I'm no Pep Guardiola, I'm not going to dress all cool and suave. I'm wearing my old man lime green tea down to the bench. And last week against Atletico Madrid in the Super Cup, I think it was, he wore a baby blue blazer down on the pitch. And I was like, what's he wearing? That's very strange.
He's going down the Bill Murray route. He'll eventually look like Liberace.
Oh, it's been fantastic though. I just picked up in the last week or two. I was like, what is he wearing? Oh my god.
Oh man.
Ooh, interesting.
Just seems out of place for a manager to wear something like that.
Compared to what Guardiola used to wear, the whole suit with the cardigan and everything.
Think of every other manager. It's like, you don't kind of know, you wouldn't care, but he just really sticks out. You're like, what is he wearing? That's ridiculous looking.
He'd be wearing a pair of jeans next to a pair of runners or something with them. Anyway, moving off to Italy, where we said Boateng's got the Schalke and Kaká's got the Milan, but they've also reportedly left Niang out of their Champions League squad.
Yeah,
which by mistake, almost.
Yeah.
By an oversight.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely bizarre for AC Milan, to a top European club, to leave out a player by mistake.
It's like this. There's like a two-tiered way of registering players for the Champions League. You can register normally, and then there's a second one for players who are under a certain age.
21
usually, yeah.
So that's what Al-Sharawi could have qualified because of his age.
Stefan Al-Sharawi was in...
but not his hair.
was in the top one, even though he didn't need to be.
Yeah.
And he took Niang's place. It was something.
The director of Milan, Umberto Gandini, said it was basically his fault. He said, I take full responsibility for the error in putting together a Champions League squad. So, I mean, that's disastrous, isn't it, for a top club to... I mean, he should have even played it off as, well, we don't want him.
Yeah.
That's what he should have done. He should not...
Never
admit to your mistake. Be ignorant and keep saying it. But yeah, that's... I mean,
especially with Berlusconi as your boss.
Yeah,
don't take any chances.
But, I mean, think of being Niang and how angry he'd be about that. That you basically missed out on all these... Look, you're not going to play most of the time, but you travel with the squad and you missed out on all these experiences because someone's not paying attention, not doing their job right.
Yeah.
Outrageous.
At least there's an actual picture of him on the website.
Yeah.
He's definitely part of the squad.
Yeah.
We know that.
He's wearing the right jersey. Onto, you know, just like the news, we'll finish on a lol, sorry.
Yeah, too good, too bad, if you will.
Yeah.
There was a cat and it can roller skate.
Ran onto the pitch and scored a goal. And the team said,
for some reason it counted.
Yeah.
Well, it would. It's just like hitting the corner flag.
Of course, it would be like the underlining bit of text beside, like the headline would be Catrick.
Oh, excellent. That's good. I'd like to see if
you went to journalism college for 4 years.
I'd like to see if Hull went the whole way and not only changed their name to Tigers, but also brought a tiger on as like their forward at one stage.
They don't really have much else going on up front. I was actually going to...
If they're fortunate enough, the tiger might eat Danny Graham.
I suppose Danny Graham said, and Danny Graham is off and they're bringing on a tiger.
I was...
More pace up front.
Tom Huddleston with that hair looks like a mane of a lion.
No, I was actually thinking about Hull earlier and how...
They call him the Matador.
I mean, they badly did need Shane Long, when you think about it. I was looking at some of the players they signed earlier.
Look, you're gone completely off topic to what I was going to say here.
We started talking about Hull.
We're not talking about Hull. We're talking about Roma, and we're talking about Roma's manager, Rudy Garcia, who's after getting trouble for using his phone on the sideline. Which, apparently, is not allowed.
Yeah,
well, he said himself...
I didn't notice.
Yeah, basically, it was put to him after. Mean. Yeah, it was put to him after, and Garcia said, can I be fined, really? I didn't know using a mobile was not permitted. It's different in France, which...
It probably isn't, but...
Yeah, no one's going to check that.
Now do it in Robbie Savage voice.
No.
You do it in Mick McCarthy voice. Oh.
Just grunt. But yeah, it's a bizarre thing. I mean,
don't use his mobile phone.
You're got off topic now.
Mitsubishi mobile phone.
I'm using my phone throughout this podcast. Is that all right?
No, you're going to be fine.
Ah, but like, really, like... It's quite hilarious. It was basically he was talking to his assistant in the crowd. I'm not sure if his assistant was banned or remember Sam Allardyce used to do that.
Well, just watch the match from different angles.
But that's probably what it is. But it's strange because we talked about just before we started this podcast that old Zach Morris type oversized walkie-talkie thing that they're allowed to use. I wonder is it like. We were saying, like, school, like, you're not allowed to bring a camera phone into school, or otherwise the teacher puts it in his desk for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
Roma's boss, you know, he can't text the squad about training or anything. Just, phone's gone.
The phone. The FA confiscate the phone.
And then finally, because
I'm on, like, a 40 grand a week contract. How will I ever get a phone?
Yeah, but it's silly, really, because it's not like, as I said, it's not like he was, like, tweeting... while this game was going on. It was obviously that he was talking to his assistant.
He is tweeting. That's just it's only detrimental to his team.
Yeah, true. But I mean, what in we general, it's probably damaging to like the appearance
hashtag
of the league.
Defend.
It's probably damaging to the appearance of his, of the league, like if they see a lad messing around with his phone, or well, like yeah, playing a bit of Snake or looking at, you know,
Jim's Snake on their phone. 2013, man.
But yeah, good luck to him anyway, getting that phone back.
Good luck to him, yeah.
Lovely, lads. Lovely. International's next week, so join us for that, because we usually get really round booked during them.
Yeah.
And angry.
I'm confident, though.
He's confident.
I'm not confident.
He's not confident. He's not confident. Are you confident?
I don't know. He's just flip-flopped completely, yeah. He was confident, there were 4 seconds.
International week makes me do this, Rue. Mm. You know that.
People get stressed because there's no football on, and, you know, there's no good football on. Nobody likes it.
It hey, is. It's always kind of frustrating.
I'm not against international football, all right?
I like the tournaments, but... You know, the whole qualifying team just annoys me. If they just pick towards your names over half for the World Cup, it'd be a lot better.
Well, we want to be the 33rd anyway.
That's not fair. You didn't pick us. That's not fair. You use your hands or something.
Yeah.
But it, like,
your hands?
It's always,
go on. Yeah, go on. Using your
hands. Joke he was making.
It's always kind of annoying that Donald Higgins, like, end of the transfer window, you're like, oh yeah, we get to see this player.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks, back in internationals.
Can't wait to see Ozil getting injured for Germany this season. touch wood.
Wait till you see, that'll actually happen. Now we'll come back to the most depressing Shane Keane podcast ever.
It's Shane Keane podcast. I didn't know
we were been rebranded.
Yeah, anyway,
you have to sing the theme tune. When
I'll sing my own theme tune. Yeah. I'll beatbox it. thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Ruth Holden. Thank you, man. If you want to get in touch,
kind,
it's shanekeen@hotmail.com. The 12manpodcast@hotmail.com, @12manpodcast on Twitter, or you can go to the Facebook page.
It's 087.
I like to think that there actually is someone with the Shane Keane Hotmail address in there that's going to get a lot of emails now. He's like, what's this? 12th man?
If you're listening, can you forward them on to the 12-man podcast?
Can you release that email and give it to Eric Shane Keane? Is what I want to know.
Yeah, I think it's probably taken. Although there's not a lot of Shane Keane. Never mind.
There's only one Shane Keane.
We'll discuss our email domains next week. thanks again, gentlemen.
You're very kind. Thank you. Lovely. Podcast.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Which guys have a great crack there.
I actually got to turn the pictures on and look at the players and go, big time.
Yeah, do you get that when you sign someone in Football Manager, you've never seen them play, and
but
you just
in Football Manager
assume
then,
that they're something else, and then you see them playing and you're like,
but
wait, that's him?
But
what?
In Football Manager, they're not people.
Yeah.
Like in real life.
They're
like, they're just statistics to you in Football Manager, really. You're just like, the statistics of this right winger are better than the statistics of it. So when they start playing, it's like, they're people?
Well,
please don't
Owen Coyle.
As in, don't take his headphones and bring them down several divisions.
I can't promise anything.
I
want a divorce.
The podcast has never been fun. We're slaves, I tell you.
Behind the scenes.
Why do we keep
I really enjoyed the podcast. I got shouted out a lot.
That wasn't even a song I have. I don't know what that was.
Do you remember?